This is a Gathering Heritage project interview recorded in County Louth in Ireland.
Now, I'd like to welcome Damien Keenan to our Gathering Heritage project. Now, Damien, of course, a lot of people would know him as Damien. I'm sure I'm right saying that, because Dino is your... Why did you get that nickname of Dino?
That's a very good question, Harry. I'm glad you asked that. it goes back to school. When we went to school in the Christian Brothers in Dundalk, and the reason why we went to school in the Christian Brothers was when we left Dublin, I was only one. So when we left Dublin, moved down to the castle, Pascal and Sean were at the Christian Brothers in Dublin. So they moved to the Christian Brothers in Dundalk.
Okay.
Then Raymond was ahead of me, and he went to the Christian Brothers in Dundalk because it... And even though we had a great primary school up in Kilcairn, that's where we went because it was the one trip, I suppose. So then when Pascal and Sean were at school, they were called Kino. And then Raymond was...
They were called
Kino.
Right.
And then Raymond was called Kino. Right, but I used to hang around with them at the same time, so there couldn't be two Kinos. So I became Dino.
Well, I'm delighted I asked you that question, Dino, because I thought it was much more simpler than that.
No,
but that's how you got you. But you are known. It's stuck with you all your life, didn't it, Neary?
People still say, oh, Dino.
Yeah.
People, because they can't remember your name, but they'll remember Dino.
Before we start talking about your time in the castle, give me a little bit of history of the castle itself.
Well, the castle, goes back to 1645, the present building. But that possibly could have been the second. They say it's the second castle on the site. But the reason why that happens is back in those days, what happened was a family would the Irish, first of all, for Castle Bellingham is Balia on Garlonic, which is Garland's town. So that must have been the family in the area was Garland's. And they would have built, say, a tower. And the next generation will build another tower. And the next generation will build an add-on. So that's the way, the castle...
It built up.
It's like a project where you start and it takes maybe 50 years to build it. So God knows, anyone doesn't intentionally start to build their house or their castle and say, it's going to take me 50 years to build it, you know? It all depends on what builder you have in at the time. But it goes back to 1645, the present building.
You mentioned that you were in Dublin and you came when you were one. And what, did your dad intend to buy the castle?
Well,
how did that work out?
He looked at several opportunities at
what
the time.
What did he do, by the way?
He had a couple of shops, 53 North Strand Road in Dublin.
Doing what?
It was like a store, general store, with an off license. So you'd come in and he'd used to bottle his own Guinness and do all that. And they had their own... We were always told he was a butcher by trade.
And so, why did he pick Dundalk?
Well, I know he looked at the site where the Green Isle Hotel is in Dublin.
He wanted to get into the hotel business.
I think so. I think that was the next progression for him. Like, he had two shops, so he wanted to expand. And I think it probably was just the opportunity at the time.
But was there a restaurant
in the castle
and bed and breakfast never in when he bought it, or did he do it himself?
Well, the family that had it then was called Meehan's, and Mr. Meehan himself, he was captain. I think he's a captain was his rank, maybe even higher, in the submarine corps, and that's what he had at the time. So that's come back. Well, that would be back in the 50s. And then when he retired, he bought the castle. They actually lived either behind it or beside it. And he bought the castle. He had it open, but it was temporary. So it wasn't open full time, on and off, closed now and again. So that wasn't kind of really working. Dad then bought it in 1967. He then opened it a year later in 68.
And was his intention, it was to make it a classy hotel and dance hall and everything?
I think so.
Because
I think
at
if
that
you,
time the dances were quite big.
Dances were big. Like our Thursday nights in the hotel back then. Like I'm only going on here because I was literally 1 year old when we moved in. So I can only remember the stories. Excuse me, but I was working at it when those dances were on a Thursday night. We used to have a supper dance, and you'd have to have your license. You always had to serve food.
This was the chicken in the rough kind
chicken in the rough. Yeah. By gee, it was rough sometimes.
You can explain to people what that means. They wouldn't know.
Well, it's chicken and chips in a wee basket, yeah, or a wee plastic tray at the time, and
that's how they got. Oh, it was a brilliant idea to get round.
It was. You had to have. I even remember when just come a little bit forward than that is we had the nightclub. When we had the nightclub, we actually had a supper area. You actually had to have a supper area in for your license. You see that to people nowadays and they say, what? You know? But that's what I can remember going back then. Maybe I was under 10. We were all working in the hotel. You'd be collecting glasses, doing bits and pieces.
Even at that age?
Even at that age. But I remember if we were doing a dance in the ballroom, we used to have to come to bring the supper from the kitchen in behind one of the other bars in the Regent's Room, which is a separate function room. So if there was a function going on in there, you can imagine what was happening. So you have the bar staff working away, and then you were coming in with trays of this chicken behind them, and it had to be lifted up into a hatch. And I was in the hatch, right? And that hatch was where all the kegs were. And that opened out into the function room. And
there used to be... How did you keep the food warm?
Oh, it was fine. It was fine. It was... In those days, it was absolutely perfect, and it was went down a storm.
And people wouldn't have been as contrary in those days.
They were just happy to have something. Yeah, they really, the people really enjoyed themselves. And you had the band playing away, and then they'd announced that the supper has now been served in the hole in the wall. That's the way it was.
Talk a little bit about the dancing and the big nights that was up there, which was a colossal part of Dundalk at one time. But what is your earliest memory yourself? You said there that you were listening to the story, but what age were you when you realised you were living in a castle?
I'd say when I realised I was living in a castle, and I was probably about 25. I think
it was a home to you.
It was a home. It was a home. It was a home, and it was just not do this. You know, that was it. Because we grew up in it. So you went to school, you come home, you probably had your homework, and then you done. You could do whatever you wanted, as in there was always something to be done, or there was something going on.
But the kids at school must have known you lived in the castle.
Oh,
or did you keep it a secret?
No. But
you could imagine the hassle you go to school now if you're living in a castle.
well, it wasn't. Put it this: we didn't think of it. I know what you're saying with the question, and I understand that. But we never thought of it like that. It was a home to us where we worked, and it was a beautiful home, a beautiful building, and the crack was 90. But it was hard work. Like there was times you came home and. You know, we're talking about the 70s, maybe, and then coming into the 80s, probably when we were getting things were starting to move, and then you're hitting like there was a recession on then in the 80s, but it was a different recession, a different type of recession. People had a bit of money; they hadn't got as much debt, but had money, that was more disposable income, I think, maybe back then.
Now, your mum and dad, of course, were involved in it. Your dad was a hard master. He was a great worker himself, and he expected everybody else to work as hard.
Well, I suppose, no, it's not fair to say he would. He wasn't a hard.
And I didn't mean it in a bad
no,
way.
No, I know what you mean. You know what I mean? He worked hard himself, yeah,
and
he
expected
would,
everybody else.
Well, he yeah. definitely. The fair way to say it would be he never asked anyone to do something that he would not do himself, and that was from.
It's a brilliant thing to in anybody, isn't
yeah.
it?
It is, and I kind of I think it's something that we've you can see in the rest of us too. Yeah. You know, we're all prepared to do our bit, and I believe that there's no point in asking someone to do something.
Yeah. And what about your mum? How what was her job in the or did you was she?
Well, mum would have been. My mum came from Castlebar, Westport area. Dad was from Tyrone. They met in Dublin, and. I suppose mum was nursing, and then as back then when you got married, you gave up nursing and you gave up your job and bits and pieces. But that mum would have been front of house in the hotel. Dad would have been everywhere, absolutely everywhere, you know, from the kitchens right up to. And maybe one thing Dad found it hard to let go so on some things. That would be his only.
He would want to do it all himself.
Well, he definitely would want it, and he'd want to make sure it was done properly.
Yeah,
always make sure it was done properly, and he was detailed too.
Yeah,
he was concerned with detail. Yeah.
Now, your mum died when you were quite young. What age were you, Dana, at that time?
17, I think it was 17.
That it
was
had a
I
big
remember
effect
that.
On you, I know you told me before.
Yeah, I can remember it exactly. Mum had angina, and she it was very strange. Dad had just gone on holidays up to the north, up to home, and he never goes away. And he was just going up to home on his own, just for maybe three nights. And Mum was at home in the castle, and she was going away. They were arranging a trip with her sisters from England over to France. And she took a bit of a turn. We called the ambulance. The ambulance came, the doctor came, and fine, but he says, look, we'll go bring you to hospital. And this was the Loud, went so great. The Loud was beside us, so everyone was fine. And next thing is, she actually remember she had a Pascal wanted to call Dad and tell Dad, and Mum wouldn't have it. Said, no, he doesn't get away. Look, let him go and have his couple of days. So the next thing was, the next morning, I remember getting up for school, and I noticed that Raymond wasn't at school. So Mary, our housekeeper at the time, and Mary was with us from years, 50, 60 years, you know, to be honest with you, with the family. So the next thing was, we decided, I said, look, Mary sent me off to school, everything's all right. So I went and got the bus in Castle Bellingham, and I was going past the ferry, going past the Loud Hospital. I remember looking over, and I thought I saw either was a Pascal's car or Joe's car, but Joe would be my sister's husband. So I didn't pass any remarks, and I remember then 11 o'clock at the school, the brother. I'm not too sure it was a brother or fee. Came in to me and asked for me, or I was called to the office, and I met the brother in the office, and Pat, Sean and Joe was there, and they said, look, we have to go. So
that was a sad time.
Yeah.
Now, when you're at that time, when you took Rover first, had you plans, had your dad plans for opening a nightclub and discos?
No,
and
no. I think Dad had always nightclub. Probably, like if you think of it, when Dad took over the hotel, he was 50. So, it was probably a brave move for someone at 50 to take over a building like that. There was bats in the attic. You know what I mean? And I think it was the dances. Was probably his era, and he was functions. But look, it was booming. You know, you could do no wrong back then, really. You could do no wrong. And then we progressed and I suppose then decided to build a nightclub. I remember. I don't know if people can remember the old ballroom, but it was. I remember having dances in the ballroom and you'd be on floor patrol. And floor patrol was in case a floorboard broke.
I thought you were going to say to stop people maybe kissing each other or something.
Well, we had a balcony upstairs. And we had a balcony, you know. We had a cloakroom. We had, it was just different way. And there was a lot of stairs. It was, you know, so things that really was not health and safety issues. But the floorboards, and all you do is if a floorboard broke, you put a chair out in front of it, on top of it, and that was it. And people danced around it, and that was acceptable. That was quite acceptable. It wasn't no problem. But, okay, so things changed. So we had to demolish this. So it was amazing, like, to see it being taken apart. And the right down to foundations, everything gone from that previous. Now, it wasn't so bad because you're talking maybe only two sides of an existing building. Dig way down, clear it out. And I remember, like, where the car park is at the back of the hotel, that was a forest. Actually, the fields at the back of the hotel, that was a forest. I remember them as forests. I remember playing in them. I remember driving. Used to drive around the back. You had a kind of like a way in, and it was trees everywhere. So I remember one incident when we had the foundations out. I was throwing bottles. Don't ask me why or at who. But I can remember letting a bottle fly. And then looking down, and top of my finger was missing. It was hanging off. And I caught the bottle, but I didn't realise it until, and I'm looking at it, and there's this bit of finger hanging off. So we had to, again, back to the loud, and stitched it up and done everything. And I have that mark on my hand ever since.
Like, we came up to talk about a castle, we're talking about now losing the finger.
Yeah.
But, you know, you yourself got very much involved in the disco end of it, because you were very young and you were doing this, you were a DJ.
Yes. Well, I suppose there again, I started discoing at 13 years of age, you know, when you think of it like that. I started really, we had the small function room downstairs, which is now the function room that they use in the castle, and it was probably half that size that it is now. It was called the Regency Room, or the Long Dining Room, and I think it was originally big, fantastic fireplace in it, and it was a long room, and it would have been, back in the day, it would have been the staff dining room. That's probably where it got its name from. Well, there used to be a DJ, a nightclub in there called Wings, and there was a couple of local DJs in it. I remember Hughes was his second name, can't think of his first name now, from town. He used to be Plumber Town. And I've met him recently. And also Eric Vaughan used to do disco in it, and I used to do warm up for them, go play a couple of records, and I was 13 years of age. And then I remember going, I said, this is good. Enjoy this. And it's, I could see, I was sitting at the door and I could see there was good money in it, the whole lot. So I went out to Comiskey's in town and bought myself a FAL 50 system, which was a disco system, two small speakers. I took it home on the bus. The bus stopped outside the gates, took it off, put the stuff in behind the gates, and I got up and went up and got the tractor. Brought the tractor down, brought the gear up, and we started, myself and Raymond on the door. I done the disco on a Sunday afternoon between 3 and 6.
It was huge, wasn't it?
It was absolutely ginormous, Harry. It was absolutely fantastic. And that kind of set the seed then. We said it went from there.
Yeah, because like, there were busloads of people going up to the castle for dancing and everything at that time. Now, when, unfortunately, we could talk for 2 or 3 hours on, but when did it start thinking that things weren't going so good?
Well, as I said, the first recession in the 80s didn't really, it was okay. things were going okay. I suppose then we built the nightclub in 84, I think it was, St. Patrick's Day, opened. And it went probably, if we got a good 10 years out of it.
That was a good while, wasn't it?
That was
it?
A good yeah. while. Without really basic, I mean, we basic refits of those nightclubs for back then for us was carpet, paint, bulbs. You know, that was yeah. it, really. There was no real thought about spending big money on structural changes. And the big thing was then we made the decision then, when the nightclub kind of finished, we made the decision to go for just weddings. I remember when we had the nightclub and you had a wedding on a Saturday, you had to be out by 10 o'clock. You know, God, you wouldn't. That's unthinkable. Sometimes your band isn't starting by 10 o'clock. But you had to have your entertainment, everything finished at 10 o'clock. And then you either went up to the bar to upstairs, or either you were let stay in for the nightclub. That was the options. But that would never happen nowadays. No, not a chance. So, but that's what we were. You get away with stuff like that. Because they wanted to have their wedding in the castle. And that was it.
Of course, the grounds and everything absolutely. Were brilliant for photographs yeah. and stuff. So, was your dad aware that things weren't going great and that you might have to...
Oh, yeah, dad was very aware yeah. of how things... We were all aware. Yeah. But, like, I think, Harry, we'd all like things to continue forever, but as long as you're aware of what's happening, it's not so bad. We made the change then from the nightclub to a pure... function room
yeah.
and then there was another era of success course, yeah. with that yeah. and then we were in the position then we had the other function room and you could have like we've often had you'd have two weddings and a funeral yeah. maybe you know on the same day all arriving at the same time. Now you tell them this wedding you have to arrive at 1 o'clock and you have to arrive at 3 o'clock. God knows the 3 o'clock will be early and the 1 o'clock will be coming in after the other one. You
how
know,
did your dad take it when you were going to close the castle and sell it?
He never knew.
He never knew?
I don't think so, no. I don't think he never knew it was sold.
And was that deliberately kicked? Would it have annoyed him? Do you think?
Why annoy someone?
And when you look now, Dino, at the... Have you, first of all, have you been up since it has reopened and a big job done in it?
Oh, I have.
What was it a feeling like when you walked in?
Wow. You know, this is the way it should be. You know, you can get tied up in knots and ifs and buts and all about life. But my attitude was this building, it needed to live again.
How long was it closed for, do you know?
Closed. It was closed for, I think, 4 years in total. Yeah. By the time it was sold yeah. and reopened, I think it was 4 years.
A lovely way to put it, that it was dead for the 4 years, but it needed the yeah. feel of yeah.
Yeah, but I was up every day.
Yeah, there was all right. Mm. The connection was always there. Yeah,
I know. I think we are all delighted that it's living again. It's working again, and better than ever. It really is. Mm. Like it's a different time. It could easily, Harry, have gone the other way. He could yeah. really have gone the other way. It could have been like we had in the period that it was closed. I think, Harry, we had two windows broken. Two panes of yeah. glass broken.
You were lucky like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. My God. You know, yeah. it was blessed.
But you were, it was just in a terrible recession at that time, wasn't it?
Oh,
you
yeah.
know
it, yeah.
That was the huge problem mm-hmm. you had trying to sell it.
Yeah. Well, we yeah. had, there was people who wanted to buy it, but they just couldn't get the money to buy it. You know, that was the yeah. thing.
Because there was a few times there was, you were just on the verge.
On the verge the whole time. And like, yeah. and Harry, we found letters from people who wanted to buy it years before. And Dad never told us. So,
He didn't want to sell it.
He didn't want to sell it, no. So why tell him that it was sold? There was no point in telling him that, you know. Yeah. He was quite happy. He was delighted here, sit beside Sean. You know, and then we all, as you said, Harry, we all came down and spent days with him. You know, it was great.
But you know, the castle will always be just the castle. If you say anywhere in Dundalk, the disco's in the castle. You don't have to explain where the castle was.
Yeah.
It has a great reputation, memory wise, of my age group.
Yeah,
you know that it was the place.
Well, I think you're right there, Harry. It actually transcends a few generations here,
as in
your age group and my age group. You know, it's just a pity that my own kids never really experienced too much of it, you know, and maybe that was a great thing.
Do you talk about it often to them?
Oh, I do, yeah, I do. And things come up about what we used to get up to in the castle and, God.
It's a lovely story, and I remember my visit to the castle fondly, even to the discos and all that kind of stuff, and particularly when you were above in it, and we had some great nights up in it.
Yeah, it was great. Meet people every single day, and they would always mention, about the castle. Some people are disappointed that they just can't go in now. It's for weddings only.
Yeah.
But look, the Cuscadens now, Papa Joe up there, anyone, I'd say, is more than welcome to call in, have a look around.
They wouldn't mind.
They wouldn't mind at all.
But dear Kelly, thank you very much indeed for talking to me. It's a lovely, lovely story. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Harry.
Listen to lots more epic interviews at gatheringheritage.com.